Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We will be going to your calls in this segment of the broadcast, so please be patient and dial 888-ASK-HANK. The resources available for those who support the ministry all this month, Darwin's House of Cards. It is written by Tom Bethel, and I've mentioned this on previous broadcasts, but he is one of perhaps the most engaging writers I have ever read, and particularly so on the subject of Darwin's House of Cards, which is precisely what Darwin's evolutionary theory is. And yet, other than Scripture, Darwin's magnum opus, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, might well be the most significant literary work in the annals of recorded history. In fact, Sir Julian Huxley called the evolutionary dogma it spawned the most powerful, the most comprehensive idea that has ever arisen on Earth. Harvard scientist Ernst Mayr said that the Darwinian Revolution of 1859, that's when The Origin of Species was published, was perhaps the most fundamental of all intellectual revolutions. Denton underscored the fact that the 20th century cannot be comprehended apart from the intellectual revolution the theory produced. And this great cosmogenic myth has far-reaching consequences. Indeed, the consequences can be felt in virtually every single field. Every discipline of study, all levels of education, and every area, not only of education, but of practice. But the most significant consequence is that it undermines the very foundation of the historic Christian faith. Because if indeed evolution is reflective of the laws of science, then Genesis must be reflective of the flaws of Scripture. And if the foundation of Christianity is flawed, then the superstructure is bound to fall. Now, many people think that's precisely what happened with Scripture. It has fallen. Scripture is an out-of-date manual that can no longer be considered credible. Well, the truth is somewhere else. The truth is in Darwin's House of Cards. And I think as Christians, we need to get a handle on this issue. Because untold millions, and this is not hyperbole, untold millions of Christian children are leaving the faith as soon as they leave the home because of the peer pressure that is extracted, or maybe there's a better word for that, the peer pressure that is imposed on them in the educational process. And the educational process oftentimes is not education, it's brainwashing, roughly defined at least. Brainwashing in the sense that all of the evidence is being presented on one side of the ledger and it's being excluded on the other side of the ledger. And you see that in the Dover case, which I've talked about on the broadcast before, where you have a judge judging that we cannot have any of this intellectual design movement being taught in the school system, because if we do, then kids are going to get the other side of the equation, and that would be really, really bad. What does he get for his trouble in marshaling his contempt against the intelligent design movement, which simply follows truth wherever it leads, where he becomes a cultural icon? So this is a battle that must be waged and has to be waged with some intelligence, and that's why I'm recommending Darwin's House of Cards. It is a delight to the senses. When you read it, you will laugh as well as be educated. Also available, Revolutionary. It is about Michael Behe. Dr. Behe is one of the smartest people on the planet, but he's also one of the most humble people on the planet, and he was not looking for fame. He was hoping to write a book, Darwin's Black Box, that his mother would read, and it turned out to be a revolution. And so there's a film we have, it's called Revolutionary, and this is one of those must-sees. It is Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Now that sounds kind of egg-heady, but actually it's not all that egg-heady at all. What he does is he takes the complex, makes it simple, makes it transferable. So you think about a flagellum. So I've never heard of a flagellum before, but by the time you get done watching this, you will understand the significance of a flagellum. And it will be likened unto an outboard motor. And you'll kind of understand why the evolutionary process is dead in its tracks at the very beginning. So again, two resources available for those who support the ministry. We go to great pains to find these resources. As I confessed, True Confessions, in the broadcast yesterday, I actually hadn't read the book myself until a few days ago. I started reading the book, and I was relying for one of the first times ever, I tend to micromanage a whole lot more than probably I should, on our research staff, who recommended this book to me. And, well, they'd never been wrong before, so I figured they're not going to be wrong this time. But in reading the book, I realized that this is not just about being right or wrong. This is about getting intoxicated about a book that can really make a difference. And so, again, Darwin's House of Cards, recommended now as a result of my own personal reading of the book. Check it out on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. Let's go to the phone callers. Thomas in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, good evening, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great, thanks for that recommendation. It sounds like a great book. And the whole idea that you were just saying about A House of Cards, maybe this is a question that I think maybe shed some light within Christianity, if there are some smaller House of Cards. And I know you've done like great work on many, many issues where you disagree with the mainstream interpretations of some things. And this is just one that I've been looking in for the last quite a few years. But You mentioned, I listened to one of your broadcasts, and you said that mankind and angels have free will. And I just wanted to ask you where you determine that angels have free will in the Bible.
Well, it's a theological deduction from reading the whole of Scripture. So you have angels that are created in such a way that they can worship God or do otherwise. And some of the angels continued in their worship of God while others did not. The theological deduction from that is that angels have free will. And to this day, we have both, according to the panoply of Scripture, fallen angels, the chief of which is Satan, and those who are unfallen, or those who continue to be messengers of God, those who continue to worship God, the very thing that created beings are designed to do. We have been created in the Imago Dei, and we also have the ability to either love God or not to love God. If we did not have volition, if we didn't have the ability to choose or to choose otherwise, then love would not even be part of the equation. But love is part of the equation, starting with the love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for one another, and the love that we have for the one God who has loved us so much that he has provided a way of reconciliation.
Right. Could I just ask something to follow up with that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking, because I've studied in some of your writings on, you know, the Nephilim, interpreted giants, men of renown, and you disagree. You think that's the line of Cain versus the line of Seth that crossed over. God warned all the time, remain separate. And if anyone wants to come into the house, the camp of Israel, they have to adhere to the laws of God, right? But the Book of Enoch was not part of canon. And the whole storyline within the Book of Enoch is about the fallen angels, which is, you know, never in the Bible, except for in the Book of Enoch, the word fallen angel or evil angel, there's evil spirit, but it says evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, right? And I'm just wanting to know how much credibility you give to the Book of Enoch then, since you're disagreeing with the Nephilim as a result of fallen angels.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with some of what is written in the Book of Enoch. And not only that, but the Bible does. And that's never a problem for me, or it shouldn't be a problem for you or anyone else. Why? Because all truth is God's truth. And so, for example, in the book of Jude, you have Jude quoting from the book of Enoch because he's quoting there a truth that is inviolate. However, the idea that angels can have, or fallen angels in this case, have sex with women goes against the whole tapestry of Scripture. The tapestry of Scripture is always about kinds reproducing after their own kinds. So the notion that an angel that does not have physicality and cannot produce physicality apart from God's creative prowess, that such a fallen angel can have sex with a woman is a sheer function of mythology, not a function of theology. So you find this in the mythologies, but you will not find this in Scripture. In fact, if you look at Genesis, what is Genesis chapter 6? It's not a judgment on hybrids. It is a judgment on a fallen human race. And the context of Genesis 6 could not be more clear in this regard.
But I'm just saying, so then with the Book of Enoch, definitely quite a bit, majority of the storyline there, would you just say then that's outright false? And where would that have then come from?
Well, I do think it's outright false,
and
I think it's
are credible.
Yeah, I think it is outright false, and I think, unfortunately, it has been used as the basis for films and movies and all kinds of mythological ideas. And this is one of the reasons that while you can find truth in the Book of Enoch, you will not find Enoch as part of the canon.
Okay. And can I just ask you this, and Hank? When I read, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about all of God's angels and what all of God's angels do as far as being his ministers, ministering spirits, obeying him, obeying his commands. When you read those passages, you obviously then have to just assume that there's another part that are all fallen. Yeah, because, and I just wanted to reference Adam Clark, and I don't use just one scholar, but he took 40 years to write his scholarship, his commentary, and he disagrees with Revelation 12, the words Satan and devil and the old serpent are descriptive words of pagan Rome. He disagrees with Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and he disagrees with Daniel 10 as far as there being some regional, and I read a little bit about what you're accept too, about regional demons around, you know, different areas of the world type of thing. And he says it makes nonsense of Scripture not to accept that that's about physical kings, especially one prophesied by God, Cyrus, to release the Jews, and that angels had to go and push the will of the kings, the men, to allow the people to go. And that's similar to the passage where it says that God hardened Moses' heart on purpose to not let the people go, so that, you know.
Yeah, we're almost running out of time. Interesting monologue there. But I think one of the things that you will see, and you mentioned at the end of your monologue, the idea of a Pharaoh. The Bible actually states both sides of the issue. It states on the one hand that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. It also states in Scripture that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Of course, mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Every single time God relented and removed a plague, Pharaoh would respond in disobedience. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Interesting conversation. We'll be back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
The Christian Research Institute exists to equip you with resources to stand against assaults on biblical truth. This month, we're tackling the threat of Darwinism. In Darwin's House of Cards, veteran journalist Tom Bethel explains that Darwin's theory is a 19th century idea past its prime, propped up by logical fallacies, bogus claims, and empirical evidence that is all but disintegrating under an onslaught of new scientific discoveries. Are you equipped to help dismantle the Darwinian myth that dominates our world today? To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go to our callers. First up, John, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hank, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I want to ask you if you read the book Searching for Adam by Terry Mortensen.
I have.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on the book and the author's view on man's origin.
Yeah, I have not read the book. I am familiar with Terry Mortensen. I think he's with Answers in Genesis.
Well, he believes in a literal interpretation of Genesis, which would suggest that Adam is about 6,000 years old. I mean, I just started reading the book, so I haven't gone through it all. Given that God's creation took literally 6 days, the universe is roughly 6,000 years old as well, which, of course, is in conflict with the Big Bang Theory. And just, I mean, where do you stand on this?
Well, I don't think there's any conflict with Big Bang cosmology. I mean, Big Bang cosmology presupposes a beginning, and that's what we read in the first few words of Genesis. So Big Bang cosmology can be harmonized with Genesis, but I don't think that a 6,000-year-old universe can be harmonized with Genesis, because Genesis, if you read it in the sense in which it's intended, is not intended to give you a chronology. What Genesis gives you is chirology. It gives you God's purposes in creation, with humankind being the crowning jewel of God's creation. And so I think this whole notion that somehow or other we can figure out from the days of Genesis how long it took is missing the point. We are to remember God's creative prowess during the normal course of everyday living. We live in seven-day cycles, and so we remember God's creative prowess, but we certainly don't suppose it took God 24 hours to do anything. This is not the point. And when you talk about reading Genesis literally, I do as well. But what does that mean? It means you read it as literature. You don't read it in a wooden, literalistic sense, but in the sense in which it's intended. So if there's an anthropomorphism that is used in Genesis, where God says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" you don't suddenly deny God's omniscience. Or if God walks in the garden, you don't suddenly think that God has big feet. It means you read the text in the sense in which it's intended. And so I would contend that this whole notion that you can figure out the chronology based on the genealogies and based on the days of creation is simply misguided. I mean, some of the clues are they're so bright that they're hard to miss. 10 genealogies on one side of the flood, 10 genealogies on the other. This is hardly sequential. It's symmetrical. So I think it's important that if you follow the literal principle, that you follow it by understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation. And, you know, now at the end of the day, here's my view. My view is I do not want to make this an acid test for orthodoxy. Unfortunately, there are people within some Christian organizations that do, And if you do not hold to their position and their way of interpreting Genesis, and therefore imposing that interpretation on doing good science, then you're out of the fold. You've walked away from the Christian faith. And I think that's unfortunate. So I think this is one of those things that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we shouldn't divide over. And I think the quintessential person as a young earth creationist that we ought to follow the model of is Dr. Paul Nelson. In fact, I just did a podcast with him. And you talk about a person that knows how to reach as opposed to repel. I think he is a model for all of us to follow. So I may disagree with him on this particular point, but I hold him in high regard, so high regard that I have him frequently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as I said, I just did a podcast with him today.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your insight.
You got it, John. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Greg. Greg is in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to ask a quick question in regard to gender problems. We have children, unfortunately, that are born either retarded or conjoined or with muscular dystrophy. There's a bunch of different things that can happen. And I'm just wondering why a gender transformation can't be one of those things.
Well, I think, first of all, we're engaged in a social experiment that has been foisted on the public by the cultural elite, and that with vast rapidity, without doing the proper kinds of studies or without properly looking at the data. For example, identical twins contain 100% of the same DNA from conception and are exposed to the same prenatal hormones. And so if the genes or the prenatal hormones contributed significantly to transgenderism, we would expect both twins to identify as transgender close to 100% of the time. But the doctor that I was referring to at the opening of the broadcast, Dr. Michelle Cretella, points out that in the largest study of twin transgender adults, this was published by Dr. Milton Diamond in 2013, only 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender. 72% of the time, they differed. The 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender, this actually suggests a minimal biological predisposition, which means transgenderism will not manifest itself without outside non-biological factors also impacting the individual during his lifetime. So when we start to strip away gender identity from biology, we should expect some big, big problems. So in the other categories, that's not the presupposition. But in this category, it is the presupposition. That's why you can have 57 or more different gender identities today. That's why now this rush to judgment on anyone that uses a he or she pronoun. This is considered bigoted. So I think what we ought to do is look at the data, and that's my appeal, is simply look at the data. As far as people having maladies, well, that's part of a fallen creation. We should expect that. When Adam and Eve fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, the rest of the Bible is the grand meta-narrative of God's unfolding plan of redemption, so that there will come a time in which there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So in this world, we're going to have trouble, but there's a new world coming. I have mantle cell lymphoma. In the new heavens and new earth, that will not exist, nor will any other maladies that are now the plight of humankind.
Praise God.
Hey, appreciate your call, Greg.
Thank you, Hank.
You're welcome. Scotty, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Scotty.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, in fact. I'm just enjoying being on the broadcast.
Okay. What do you think of the Shepherd's Chapel?
What do I think of them?
Yeah.
Well, what do I think about Arnold Murray, who denies the Trinity, or who claims that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, or who teaches Anglo-Israelism, which holds that Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race, or who teaches the serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with a snake, and that's where you get Cain and his progeny, the Kenites. I mean, this is just sheer madness. And so here's a guy who not only denies essential Christian doctrine, but then he takes secondary issues or even absurd issues and he enshrines them as though they're essentials of the historic Christian faith. So my advice to anyone that happens to encounter this program late at night when you have insomnia is to flip the dial as quickly as you can, or I guess you use a remote, so use the remote quickly.
Okay. And what do you think of... Okay, I know that Christ said it was finished on the cross and everything. Is there any way possible you can still be saved and still fall away from Christ?
Well, look, I think the whole idea of salvation is that we go on in the process from the port of salvation, as Vladimir Lossky has well said. We go on to the goal of union with God. So the idea of the shipwreck is not simply to reach the port, it is to go on. And that going on means that you are following the principles and precepts of Christ, you're co-consummators of the kingdom, and the love affair grows and grows and grows, and it grows within the context of the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of truth, wherein graces are dispensed to you by which you can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So if one is truly born again, the earnest, the deposit of the Holy Spirit within will propel them on to deeper and deeper love relationship with the very one who saved them by His grace. So at the end of the day, God's trees are evergreen because they continue on in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Much more could be said about that, but unfortunately, coming up to station break, on the other side of the break, the quote of the day, this comes from, well, I'll tell you about that when we come back from the break. It's an incredible quote of the day, worth writing down. Later on, you can find it on the web at equip.org. Do remember the podcasts. You can find them on the web at equip.org. We keep putting up new ones. I think this is one of the most significant enhancements we have ever made to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So go to equip.org and check out the latest podcast. Unbelievable. We'll be right back.
In a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. Veteran journalist Tom Bethel believes the great problem with science as it is understood today is that authority more and more replaces evidence. In his new book, Darwin's House of Cards, Bethel explains how Darwinism was once a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, moats, and battlements. Yet today, it more closely resembles a house of cards, built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence, and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. Don't overlook this evidence-driven opportunity to topple the authoritarian regime that Darwinism is in the world today. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Dr. Michael Denton. He is the ever-quotable Dr. Michael Denton. He was a man who said things that just stick in the mind. And one of the things he said was, "Evolution," and this is the quote of the day, "is one of the most spectacular examples in history of how a highly speculative idea for which there is no really hard scientific evidence can come to fashion the thinking of a whole society and dominate the outlook of an age." Wow. many other great Michael Denton quotes, but we'll leave it at that for now. It'll be up on the web in a short period of time. It's one you might want to get in your head. Go back to the phone lines, talk to Pam in Williamsburg, Virginia. Pam is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pam.
Hi, good to speak with you. And I do pray for your healing and for your ministry. You're on most nights with me, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The concern I have, I mean, there's been a, obviously we've been on this discussion for a while, for weeks now on the LGBTs and transgendered. And what I'm not understanding, or obviously I don't understand because I'm not an expert, but I do think that what they have in their head, is not matching, what's on their body. And there's, that distinction. And it's never called mental illness. And it's almost like it's taboo, or for some reason it would not be considered mental illness. But when I think about schizophrenia, and again, I'm not an expert here, so I could be way off base, but those folks will take on multiple personalities from what they really are. I mean, their head is telling them one thing, and so, and they can be multiple people. Well, in a transgendered way, I think of them as they're just taking on one other personality or one other person. But it still would be a mental illness. And it just doesn't seem like it's ever treated that way. It's like we want to treat it medically, but not mentally. Am I off base there? Is there something there that...
Well, there is a there. Yes. I mean, this used to be called a disorder, right? And now everything has had to be rewritten. So you have these psychiatric institutions having to... jump through all kinds of hoops and change what they have written and obscure the past so people don't see how they use terminology in the past. So the word disorder has now been replaced with dysphoria. And again, oftentimes it's not the the word that's used, it's the meaning that's poured into the words. And as I mentioned yesterday, you have a now... very virulent transition-affirming movement. And they're using the myth that people are born transgender to justify in engaging in what has been well described as a massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the institutions that are now promoting transition affirmation are pushing children. And these are not my thoughts. I mean, these are the thoughts, the very well-founded thoughts of a very prominent doctor in the field. They're pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, and they're sending a whole slew of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts. I mean, think about that. Like double mastectomies. And this is doing untold psychological damage. And there's some data, even though this is a brand new phenomena in many different ways, I mean, there's some data that you can look at. We know, for example, that adults who undergo sex reassignment, and you can look at Sweden as the example because it's among the most LGBTQI-affirming countries, they have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. So the point is that sex reassignment is not the solution to what is now called gender dysphoria. So when you ask, am I way off base? I don't think so. I mean, I think that the people that are lockstep in this movement, walking over the cliff, are not only endangering themselves in their academic disciplines, but they're endangering the very people that they're influencing.
I just can't imagine looking back years from now and saying, why didn't we give those people the treatment that they needed? You know, if that's the case, you know, that there's something there that can be treated versus the science project that we're off on here. You know, it's just it's just so sad and so disturbing.
It is disturbing. It is disturbing. I mean, this is the experimentation on children. I mean, that's what it ultimately is. And, you know, but here's the deal, Pam. If you do not accept a higher authority, if there is no God, everything becomes permissible. Because now truth is no longer determined by some objective standard. It is determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. So truth is in a state of flux. And at this particular point in time, in Western civilization, cultural elites have decided that this is the way to go. And if you don't go this way, they're going to call you bigoted, or you're not going to get tenure, or there's going to be some kind of a consequence. So people kind of walk along with the herd. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, and it's a little bit off topic, but it's why I love revolutionary. Michael Behe was willing to walk away from the herd, to examine the herd, to see if what the herd was doing was wise as it was heading over the cliff. And he did that with the whole evolutionary hypothesis, or low-grade hypothesis. He started thinking about it critically. He was in the field, kind of been part of the herd, walked away from the herd because when he started thinking about it critically, a lot of it did not make sense. Now today, he has been proven to be very, very wise because as Bethel has well said, Darwin's theory is a mere house of cards and it will eventually blow away or fall apart with a slight gust of wind.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing for the truth and just helping us all find the truth and believe the truth and have a backbone for the truth, because you do. You feel like you get beat up or you're crazy for thinking what you think. But it's like, you know, I'm more concerned because we're treating them the wrong way when there's probably treatment available that could help them live, you know, wonderful lives out there. And we're destroying them before they even get a chance. And you know, they're not a petri dish. It just, to me, it's like a, I don't know, a science experiment gone wrong. And it just is so upsetting. So
and it's not like
again
you're
for the discussion.
You're absolutely welcome. It's not like it hasn't happened again or happened before. I mean, I mentioned on the broadcast a few days ago, eugenics. I mean, this was an experiment in the United States based on a theory, really based on the evolutionary paradigm. So evolution led to eugenics. All we wanted to do was forward the whole process of evolution and not infect the gene pool with less fit genes. So what do? You start sterilizing people. And this became a cultural phenomenon. Everybody bought into it. I mean, in the academic community, they bought into it. In the financial community, when you think about the foundations, the very reputable foundations that poured hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps, into this whole eugenics myth, and now we've gotten to the point where we don't even want to admit that we ever thought such a thing in the first place. So we've swept it under the rug. It's faded into the shadows of history. We still pay reparations for it, but we don't want to acknowledge it. Juanita in New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Juanita.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Hank? It's nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I have a question. I was just having a discussion with someone, and they said that they read in the Bible that angels came down and mated with humans, and they had children. And I said, I don't think it's true. I think that you're reaching into mythology when you say that angels and humans can mate. Can you tell me what is truth?
Well, no, what you're saying is absolutely true. And I talked about that at the beginning of the broadcast in, I think in response to a question. You know, demons are non-sexual. They're non-physical beings, and as such, they are incapable of having sexual relations and producing physical offspring. And I think to say that demons can create bodies with DNA and fertile sperm is to say that demons have creative power, which is an exclusively divine prerogative. So God can allow an angel to take on physicality for his own purposes, not only can, but has. But demons do not have that creative power, so they can't produce bodies and then have sex with women. And you're absolutely right to render this mythology. In mythology, the gods came down and they had sex with women. But this is not something that you find in the tapestry of Scripture. You find something quite different. What you find in Scripture is kinds reproducing after their own kinds. And with that, we're wrapping up a week's worth of broadcasts. I want to publicly thank the Lord Jesus Christ for sustaining me, giving me strength, giving me the energy that I need to do everything that He has called me to do, and to do it with great joy and purpose. Only when life soon will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you, Christina, for joining me in studio. I thank all the people that support this ministry internally, externally. We're making a difference together. We're telling it is, no matter what the cost. It's not about popularity, a platform, prosperity. It's ultimately about an audience of one. We want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. So thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to next week and more broadcasts.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Tom Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, to show you why, like Bethel, he's inclined to say that there is actually no evidence for evolution. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.